The St. Helena Sanitarium, January 15, 1901. I awake this morning at 1 o'clock a.m. I tried to sleep, but could not, and finally at 3 o'clock, dressed and commenced to write to relieve my mind. What has kept me awake at this early hour? In my dreams, we were in a meeting of what could be done for the health retreat. One of authority seemed to be listening to the propositions to purchase more land, and some things were introduced in reference to the managing force at the sanitarium. A physician was presented as one who could serve in more ways than in one capacity. Then said the one who seemed to be considering questions and propositions, "Should you place another one on the paying list who has not proved himself as capable of exceeding any you now have? It will not be wise to add to your paying list until you have managing capabilities that can handle the responsibilities. There are those who would do them best, but they have not the qualifications in wise, far-discerning capabilities to know what needs to be done to produce as well as consume. There needs to be experienced judgment to devise and plan, and execute as well, in order to carry things successfully and reveal producers above consumers of means. There are to be revealed as managers men who are deep thinkers, who have large perception and power to arrange and execute. Until this is brought about, all the additional help that will be added will be consumers and not producers. There needs to be men with deep religious experience who shall make it a special study to elevate the spiritual above everything that has been hitherto. The sanitarium has been a crippled institution nearly all its existence because of defective capabilities to manage. There needs to be less expense in various lines, such as the maintenance of horses that are consumers and not producers. The extra expense in horseflesh requiring care needs to be invested in the accomplishments of the sanitarium to make it convenient and more comfortable in facilities to accommodate the sick. The cellar-like rooms without the sunlight and depending on lamplight in the daytime is an injury to all who shall serve in them. The expense is to human life and in the appearance made, detracting from the influence the institution should have. The extra shanties and tents are decidedly objectionable to the appearance, and are no special advantage unless everything like the objectionable outward appearance are removed. The sanitarium does not, in healthful appearance, correspond with the name. It is not the greatest need to purchase more land. The Lord calls for deeper spirituality, not outside show, but deep inward piety. There must be more capabilities brought in and a more thorough, equipped working force. The love of God is to be made prominent in the working force. Capabilities must be changed. There must be new qualities, new energies, and minds that can look beneath the surface before there will be light and strength and carrying things as God would have them carried. The sanitarium is to accomplish a work not only acting as a hospital, but as instrumental in communicating the knowledge of the truth. There is to be a company of faithful workers as physicians of the soul, where the weary and heavy-laden souls are to find rest. Matthew 13, verse 33. The leaven introduced in the meal is something brought and placed in the meal. It is not a natural product of the meal or any part of the meal itself. The leaven represents divine grace, which is something we cannot create, but altogether a heavenly production. The introduction of the principles occasions a gathering to itself, which is a life contest. The leaven in the meal is an active, working element. The grace of God is a living, working element to absorb. The grace of truth in the heart works by faith and love in the patience of hope. It purifies and vivifies the whole mass. This very working agency is needed to convince the poor, sin-sick souls that shall come to the sanitarium that they need a Savior. Their repentance of sins brings pardon and hope. What carefulness it wrought in you! Yea, what zeal! 2 Corinthians 7, verse 11. The leaven is assimilating. It has a converting power. The leaven does not destroy the substance it works upon, but changes the quality through communication of the leaven. The Lord would have the sanitarium to be a place where the truth shall act as the leaven. The principles of truth received have their transforming power on the character. It is the same man physically as before, but he has become a new man in Christ Jesus. The divine truth has leavened the man. The holy, heavenly nature of truth so converted the agency that there is a new man.
The operation of leaven is gradual. The leaven of truth is renewed day by day, and there is a following on to know the Lord until his going forth is prepared as the morning. Hosea 6, verse 3. The God of all grace hath shined in his heart. There is a going on from strength to a greater strength. The influence of the leaven is dispersed. It affects the whole man, in the family, in the church, in all his business relations. Whether he eats or drinks or whatever he does all to the glory of God. The leaven of truth has its sanctifying influence upon the physical, mental, and moral powers. It will perfect the entire man, sanctifying soul, body, and spirit.